WTF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Pomp and pageantry at Windsor Castle as the King and Queen welcome President Trump and the First Lady. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is there.
We know that the Union Jack that was flown over Buckingham Palace on the day of the President's inauguration was gifted to the President, while the Trumps gave the King a replica of Dwight D. Eisenhower's military sword.
Ousted CDC Director Susan Menarez is about to begin testifying before the Senate Health Committee. CBS's Nicole Killian.
According to prepared remarks, Menarez says she was let go after refusing to fire career officials.
FBI officials in Pittsburgh searching for a local man they suspect rammed his car into the gate of a field office, draped an American flag over it, and ran away. Special Agent in Charge, Christopher Giordano.
That's not to say that we're going to charge him with anything of terrorism related, but we take this extremely seriously.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order requiring health insurance companies to continue covering the COVID-19 vaccine. The executive order was issued in response to eligibility changes from federal health agencies, with the FDA recommending the COVID vaccine only be covered for people over the age of 65 or with certain medical conditions. The executive order signed by Governor Evers calls on state health agencies to maintain vaccine access and requires them to respond publicly to further changes in federal vaccine policy. With the Packers back in action and the Brewers heading to the postseason, the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is reminding sports fans to look out for fake memorabilia scams. Agency officials say scammers have been posting advertisements on social media for fake sports memorabilia with high-quality pictures and cheap prices to lure potential victims. The Better Business Bureau is reminding residents to research the company before making a purchase, check for certificates of authenticity, and be wary of deals that seem too good to be true. The St. Croix Economic Development Corporation is sharing the results of its recently conducted housing survey. According to the assessment released this week, the region is seeing strong population growth but declining vacancy rates and growing housing costs. The study found rental vacancy rates dropped to 1.4% in 2023, well below the healthy range of 5-7%. It also found that over 36% of renters and 23% of homeowners are cost-burdened, and the county will need nearly 4,600 new housing units by 2050. Hudson area parents gathered at a school board meeting on Monday as the district considers possible school closures to address budget concerns. District officials say they've been forced to cut staff amid declining enrollment and increased inflation, a common theme for districts across the state struggling with budget constraints. They're now considering closing two schools, saying they've determined closing Willow River would save over $2.1 million per year and closing Holton Elementary would save around $1.6 million per year. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers try to regroup. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. After losing to Alabama, the Wisconsin Badgers hope to bounce back when they host the 3-0 Maryland Terrapins this Saturday. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle on trying to turn around the program in the NIL portal transfer era.
Whether you're playing with three redshirt freshman offensive linemen or, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, their first time playing together with us, we have to make sure that we aren't just focused on the destination. Saturday will take care of itself.
NFL, the Packers have their first road game this week. Safety Xavier McKinney says they can't overlook the 0-2 Browns this Sunday in Cleveland.
I still think they got a good team. I think if you look at their roster of who they have on their team or what they can do, they got a lot of talent. It can turn around quickly for them.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and Angels tonight in game two of that series in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff gets the start. Last night, Freddy Peralta pitched six innings, allowed just one run, two hits, 10 strikeouts on the way to a 9-2 victory for the Crew. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
We do have a chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms possible with a low dropping to around 63. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwab.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show coming up for you today. Our guest, James Vanderloo. Mm-hmm. From the OEC group, Milwaukee is going to be joining us in hour number two. They deal with importers and exporters.
Yes.
And so we're going to be talking about supply chains and tariffs on today. Mm-hmm. Not so much tomorrow. Who knows next week?
Yeah.
Businesses just love insecurity.
They love uncertainty.
Yes. There's
uncertainty
nothing. Businesses just love that. So we'll be talking to James Vanderloo to talk about what he is hearing from his clients and what he expects to see with the supply chain going forward. In the next half an hour after the 9:30 news, Bennett Goldstein is a reporter with the Wisconsin Watch. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be joining us. And we're going to be talking about food insecurity and addressing food insecurity in more rural parts of the state. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people always assume that food insecurity and people having trouble making ends meet only happens in urban areas. That is not the case.
Nope. And it's the story is going to highlight how one county is coming together to meet the challenges created by federal cuts to food programs.
Exactly. So that will be happening in about a half an hour after the 9:30 news. Last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Today, thank you, Calvin. This generated from something we were kicking around in the office before we got on the air. Technology, are you the helper or are you the helpy? Calvin's the helpy, at least for me.
He's the helper.
He's the helper, yes. I am way the helpy.
I'm sorry, me, Calvin.
You have helped, yeah. Yes, I'm sorry, yeah. Greg Bach, you're both my helpers.
Wow.
I apologize.
Okay.
You can beat me up later.
Whoa.
But
calm down, lady.
Are you the helper or are you the helpy? And we would love to know more specifics about trying to help your parents. Send emails or whatever.
Or maybe your parents have to help you. You never know.
That's it could be.
Yeah, you
that's
never
very
know.
Possible.
Never
and know. Then at the very end, as we always do, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Firefest, What Could Go Wrong This Time edition. This is like volume four.
This
or
is volume
five.
Four for us. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been quite a few. So stay tuned for that. We do have baseball coming up later on today, 6:05. Our broadcast starts as the Brewers hosts the Angels. You can listen to the game. Does have to be on terrestrial radio. So catch it tonight starting 6:05 WRCE in Richland Center. Here in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN, WCQM in Park Falls. And our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate in Hayward, WBZH. So the Brewers and the Angels, our broadcast starts 6:05.
Got that playoff spot. We need that division. We're so still too close.
It's close.
Yeah, I know.
Because the Cubs just won, right?
And the Brewers won last night. We're still five games apart. Which
that's tight.
It's tight.
They can do it.
Widen that berth.
We'll have more sports tomorrow.
That's right, we will. With, it's Thursday.
It is Thursday, so join us for that. Some breaking news as we're coming on the air also this morning. Francesca Hong has officially entered the governor's race. Francesca has been a guest on our show, and she appeared with Pat Kreitlow this morning shortly after making her announcement. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Francesca Hong prefers wild card to underdog.
Yeah.
And she's got a new ad out announcing her candidacy. Pretty straight. She's a straight talker.
Oh, yeah. There's no mincing words with Representative Hong right there. None whatsoever. And that makes it five candidates thus far. Officially, Sarah Rodriguez, David Crowley, Francesca Hong, Kelda Royce. And I cannot remember his first name, Mr. Strand.
Calvin, do you remember?
Is it Strand or Strand?
Ryan Sternad.
Sternad. Ryan Sternad, who is a beer vendor at the ballpark in Milwaukee. All five have officially launched their campaigns on the Democratic side. And it's going to be,
we got a long way to go yet.
And this isn't the end of people joining the race. There's still thoughts. People, I hear things about Josh Call. I hear wisps about Cavalier Johnson, but I don't personally think he's going to.
I don't think with Crowley in the race, I don't see Cavalier running.
I agree. So it's just going to, we wanted 2025 off. We really did. It would have been nice to get like a vacation, but we're in it.
We're in
2026. Gird up. Here we go.
Yeah. Ah! Going to be many, many, many things to come, and we will keep up on that. And obviously, we will look to book Fran Hong on the program and get her back. And of course, as far as I know, she's the only one who of the candidates who is an expert on tater tots. It's an edge. You got to take
it.
Well,
you got my vote, I guess.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there. Again, we will effort to get Fran Hong on the show in the next couple of weeks. We wanted to start off with this. If you are wondering about getting a COVID vaccine.
Correct. Yes.
There has been a lot of confusion, especially now with Bob Jr., the head of the health department and the CDC, and they're changing vaccine requirements right and left. And there has been confusion, and I've also seen on various social media sites with folks who have tried to get a COVID shot and they can't.
Yeah.
So this from the Wisconsin Examiner, Baylor Spears has the byline. Governor Evers issues executive order aimed at protecting vaccine access. Governor Evers says, quote, vaccines save lives. Spreading fear, distrust, and disinformation about safe and effective vaccines isn't just reckless. It's dangerous. RFK and the Trump administration are inserting partisan politics into healthcare, and the science-based decisions of medical professionals are putting the health and lives of kids, families, and folks across our state at risk in the process. So according to the governor, his executive order directs the State Department of Health Services to take steps towards protecting access. This includes monitoring and reviewing immunization recommendations, giving guidance on the COVID shots, determining additional measures that may be needed to provide clarity and guidance on other routine vaccines. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lierley earlier this week. Yeah. Measles is spreading.
Yes, it is.
In Wisconsin.
Yes,
it is. We had eradicated measles.
Yeah, we thought it was gone, and then it came back, and people are and there are some folks out there who have an attitude towards it like measles. Wait, what's – because it's been gone for so long, and I think you mentioned this – that the sheer force of measles is clearly underestimated. People just kind of equate it to like a flu.
It's a cold.
Flu or chicken pox or something like that. Like, oh, just take a little medicine. You'll be fine. No, measles have lasting effect on people, especially kids.
Yes.
So just get vaccinated. Don't just get vaccinated. I'm being paid by no one for this, okay? No one's paying me to say this.
Big Pharma, we're waiting for all those big checks to come in.
Oh, Mother Glory, my gosh, they gave me a Culver's gift card to tell you to get vaccinated.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened.
No.
So again, the governor of Wisconsin, state of Wisconsin Health Department taking some steps so that people who want it can get it. At the Department of Health Services, Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer, State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases, has issued a standing medical order recommending the vaccine for all eligible Wisconsin residents this fall. With the order, no prescription is needed. And also I saw in this article also from the Wisconsin Examiner that says it will not require a patient copayment.
Exactly. Yeah. They're doing all the work to make sure that it's as easy and as affordable, if not free, for Wisconsinites to just get that vaccination. And that is, you know, we're in 2025, you know, 10 years ago, this really would not have been a thing.
It's just so interesting when I think about the anti-vax movement.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, it seemed to me more of these stereotypical granola eating, you know, off the grid living kind of
granola.
Folks. But it was more of a hippy dippy thing.
Well, I mean, it was, but that's the kind of the wild thing now is that, I would always equate that my apologies to those who are hippy dippy, but like hippy dippy, you always would say like, oh, they're liberals. They're going to, they believe in oneness and blah, 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 whatever else you want to say. But it's that weird anti-vax culture that has worked its way into the Eastern medicine world where not only are they, I mean, there's no doubt there's a record and a history for them saying, hey, you don't need modern Western medicines. You can take this.
This herbal treatment.
And I get that. I totally understand. But what has happened now is this disdain for the medical industry
and rejection of
where they're putting on red hats and voting for Trump in a way that's as vitriolic as just the mega base as it is. So it's coming from all ends. And I told you before that I fell into a rabbit hole on YouTube about debunking various conspiracy theories. And the one thing that always grabs me with the vaccination movement is that there is no – while there's piles of proof to show that vaccines work, there is nowhere near enough proof to show that they cause any sort of lasting damage to the greater population. That doesn't include those who could legitimately become injured from the vaccine or have – certain side effects or, you know, things happen. That's just how it works with vaccines. But what the thing that always gets me is there's no proof that there's scientists out there who are just bathing in money. All these scientists, all these doctors through the years who have done the research, the trials, who have recommended, who have said, yes, this vaccination works. I would like for your child. They're not getting
rich
millionaire. They're not getting planes and pools and cars and boats. So this conspiracy of like, well, it's Big Pharma, but Big Pharma is always Big Pharma'd regardless of the medicine. But vaccines, you think that this is some sort of funnel of money for a certain subsect of our society, which is the medical industry. I know doctors who are not getting rich off of prescribing vaccinations, especially ones that are like for the measles, COVID, flu, whatnot.
Well, I just think when we're talking to kids about going into, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of people. Be an epidemiologist. That's where the money is.
Oh,
baby.
My gosh.
That's what, you know, that's the career path you want to take.
Yeah.
Because research is so lucrative.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. It's not.
It's not.
No.
And I think of some of the doctors who are prevalent on social media, Dr. Peter Hotz, who has been involved in it for a long time. Look at the way they demonized Dr. Anthony Fauci,
mm-hmm.
who had been in public service and public health for decades.
Our current Health and Human Services Secretary wrote an entire book about Dr. Fauci and, quote, his lies.
Our current one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the thing that will never make sense to me. One, like, I don't understand why you can never make it make sense to me on any from the economic to the health reasons why you think vaccinations are a bad thing. And don't come at me with, well, I'm a skeptic. No, you're just a contrarian. There's a difference.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. I saw something on the news this morning. Insurance companies have agreed to pay for COVID vaccines. So if you want to get one, don't get one.
Yes, please.
Yep, absolutely. If you were affected by the floods that we had, seems just a month ago.
It was,
wasn't that long ago. Yeah. There's help. We'll tell you how you can get it. On the other side, stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
.5 The Tap.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. You can do both. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Bennett Goldstein is going to join us. He's a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. And we're going to talk about Juneau County specifically and their efforts to fight the growing number of people who need access to food.
Yeah.
And this is not just an urban issue. Food insecurity exists all across the state.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk to Bennett about some of his reporting for the Wisconsin Watch on this particular program in Juneau County that seems to be having some success. Also, just a little bit of a reminder to download the Civic Media app.
Ooh, why?
Because, first and foremost, this Friday is the last day, the last free ticket Friday of this season.
It's the last
day. It's the last Friday ever. No, it is our final free ticket Friday. Your last chance to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets. Brewers are doing pretty hot right now.
could be hotter. Would like one or two more victories.
Let's not do, okay.
Hey, I'm not. hey.
You can win a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets this coming Friday for the final time, starting at 6 a.m. You cannot win.
Well, I know I can't win because you've told me that every week and it kind of hurts after a while. But the point is Jane, when we say club level, does that mean like fancy?
It means there's a special hallway to get there.
Ooh. Is it carpeted?
I believe it is carpeted because you and I were there last year. And then there's a special entrance.
Yeah.
And they have little special restaurants and you have access to bathrooms. Well, that's a big thing for people of a certain age.
I would like to make it clear that in the entirety of American Family Field, you have access to bathrooms.
Yes, there are other bathrooms, but these are dedicated to the club level. So there's less competition.
You have to fight it out.
For access.
You are forgetting one major bragging point of club level seats. Squishy chairs.
Squishy seats.
They're
very comfy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Your tush and your back will not hurt after watching wonderful baseball. So, yeah, get the Civic Media app on your device. When we give you the keyword, you're going to text that keyword in. It must be spelled correctly, and you can only participate on the app. It has to be through there.
Yep.
And then you'll be entered to win that 4-pack. And you'll have 5 chances throughout the day on Friday.
Starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Also, there are rumors, Greg Bach.
And Pete Schwabba.
And Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8.
Yeah. What's that? What's the rumor?
That once we have the final free ticket Friday, this Friday, there could be another multi-state text to win contest coming right around the corner.
Are we crazy here?
So much winning. So many
so
prizes.
So much winning.
Download the Civic Media app. Yeah. It is
absolutely free.
All right. As we promised, there is finally FEMA assistance
that's
now available to people who were just devastated by the 1,000-year flood that we had in parts of southeastern Wisconsin just about a month ago. The only thing is there are a whole bunch of caveats in order to get this help.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get any other help, which means you can't get any of your damage covered by an insurance company or enter any similar kind of reimbursement programs. You have to have been living in that property as your primary residence. So if this was a secondary home, that's not going to apply. You have to be an owner or a renter. Your home has to have sustained disaster-caused damage, going back to this 1,000-year flood. And you must be a U.S. citizen, a non-citizen national, or a qualified alien. So you can get this help through FEMA. Again, talking about that disastrous flooding that we had just about a month ago in southeastern Wisconsin. You can do it online. It's disasterassistance.gov. You can also call the FEMA helpline. We'll include all this stuff in the show notes.
All this in the show notes already,
800, I mean, we'll put the number in the show notes. I would suggest it's probably going to be faster if you can do it online.
Correct. Absolutely. And especially like we were talking about the whole 211 reporting as well. If you do the reporting, it's best to do it online. That way you don't have to wait on the phone. You don't have to worry about
and
being
overwhelmed
transferred.
That system. Yep.
Yeah. And I didn't realize there were so many caveats, especially the one of you can't get insurance money and get FEMA. That just to me seems, although at this point, I feel like I could rely more on FEMA than insurance as far as what we're seeing coming through as yeah, exactly. So
it really depends.
Yeah.
When you apply for FEMA assistance, you have to tell FEMA about any insurance coverage that you have that can help.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you do have insurance, you have to give FEMA proof of it, a settlement, or explaining that you got denied coverage. So again, we will include all of this in our show notes. You mentioned this earlier this week that I think is a really good idea as well. Floodplains have been changing as more of this flooding has happened.
Correct.
Due to climate change and the warming climate. Call your.
There's two places you can two ways you can do it. If you still have a mortgage, call your bank and they should have someone, either your mortgage lender or your mortgage broker or someone on staff who has that information. And if it changes, they will let you know. That is what ours told us. Or you can go right to your municipality and talk to somebody. And I believe it would probably, and the name of the department is escaping me right now, but Just go to your municipality, your town hall, city hall, ask who you would speak to about floodplains.
And whether or not your home is located in a floodplain.
Correct. And that way you can be assured and possibly insured about it.
Again, we'll put it all in the show notes. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Once the show is over, just click on shows, go to Matinee on Air, and there is about 100 archived programs mm-hmm. there. Greg does a great job with the show notes. All the links will be in there. We have news coming up next, and then we're talking about food assistance in Juneau County. Bennett Goldstein with Wisconsin Watch is our guest. Stay with us. You're listening to Matinee on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matinee on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released its wolf population estimates for 2025. According to the data released last week, the DNR estimates that there are approximately 1,200 gray wolves in the state this year. The total is about 100 fewer than the 2024 estimates, which wildlife researchers say could be a sign of the wolf population reaching its capacity. Managing the wolf population has become a controversial topic, especially in northern Wisconsin, where farmers have complained of the wolves targeting their livestock. Governor Tony Evers has announced he is seeking a formal court order to force the Republican-controlled state legislature to comply with a recent Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling on the administrative rulemaking process. The state's highest court had decided the legislature overstepped its power by obstructing 9 of 12 administrative rules approved by Governor Evers from going into effect. The Joint Committee on Legislative Organization had directed the Legislative Reference Bureau not to publish the rules, essentially blocking them. The Rice Lake Elks Lodge is inviting area residents to properly retire their worn-down American flags over the weekend. The organization will offer the flag retirement service with assistance from a local Boy Scout troop on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. in the banquet hall of the Rice Lake Elks Lodge. Residents can bring their flags that have been worn down or tattered over time as part of the community outreach event. The flags will be burned and the ashes buried for a proper and dignified disposal rather than being thrown in the trash. Congressman Derek Van Orden is threatening to withhold federal funding for the city of Eau Claire due to a social media post involving two city council members regarding Charlie Kirk's death. In a social media post, Congressman Van Orden said, quote, federal dollars will not be going to support communities that have hate mongers celebrating the assassination of American citizens and their leadership. Congressman Van Orden also introduced legislation on Monday he says would prohibit federal funding for entities that employ individuals who condone and celebrate political violence and domestic terrorism. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Feel like spending Christmas in Las Vegas? I'm sure the town would love to bring tourism back, and hopefully Mariah Carey's new residency will help. Mariah Carey's Christmas Time in Las Vegas will kick off November 28th at Dolby Live at the Park MGM. Carey will perform 10 shows that will conclude on December 13th. Do you think she'll sing All I Want for Christmas? If you're looking for a road trip, tickets go on sale September 20th. Sydney Sweeney continues to diversify her resume with her latest role being a maid. The Housemaid stars Sweeney alongside Amanda Seyfried in this dark psychological thriller. The story follows Sweeney's character, who is fresh out of prison and who is hired by Seyfried's character and her handsome husband, and becomes close to the attractive couple. Pretty sure this isn't an adult film, but who knows? The Housemaid will drop in theaters December 19th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
We do have a chance of scattered showers or a thunderstorm today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms possible with a low dropping to around 63. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Van Orden, he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling. The more troubling tweets call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the general that helped save New Orleans, General Russell Honoré. He's a decorated 37-year Army veteran. We'll talk to him about the impacts the Trump regime has had on our armed services.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Bennett Goldstein. He is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch, and we're going to be talking about an article that he has been working on about combating hunger in Juneau County in particular. Bennett, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. First of all, I want to say how impressed I was when I looked at your website this morning and the whole About tab. And you have a very extensive list on what are the responsibilities of journalists and what actual journalists do and what are the responsibilities of true journalism. And I thought that was so impressive because there's such a blurred line, it seems, these days into what actually goes into being a reporter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think just one of the, you know, most important things is to really listen to the needs of local communities and try to connect them with information that they, you know, could benefit from. And then also just, you know, more generally, you know, in particular, I enjoy trying to capture a slice of life stories that can really help people empathize with each other.
Well, tell us about this particular story that you worked on for the Wisconsin Watch about the about Juneau County in specific and what they're doing to combat food insecurity.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So Juneau County is one of Wisconsin's most food insecure regions. And when we say food insecure, we just mean people have, you know, who have a hard time accessing not only accessing food, but also healthy and nutritious food. And in Juneau County in particular, about 1 in 7 residents struggle with poverty and making ends meet. Oftentimes they're elderly, living on fixed incomes. And so last year, Juneau County started a program, you know, where they were able to hand out food that was grown by local farmers. And so when the money, which came from the USDA, was and then through Wisconsin, you know, it was canceled. And so this year, the county and donors kind of stepped in to run the program again because it was just so well received last year.
And this is something, you know, especially the LFPA program, which we've talked to, I believe, Hans Breitenmoser and Darren Von Ruden and Pam Yonke about. This was abrupt that the funding was just stopped, and it left communities like Juneau County in a spot to, like, all right, what are we going to do next? And your story shows that this is what happens when communities can come together and take care of this, because they have to, because we're not going to get help from the government on this one. Therefore, they have to do it on their own. And this is a great example of us, as you said, showing empathy and coming together and understanding we all need the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really did come as a surprise because this program, as you said, the LFPA, Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, it was a great way of connecting farmers and helping and fishermen to help feed their communities. And the food went to pantries and food banks. And, you know, and so even though the money was gone, Juneau County was able to run a smaller program this year. And, you know, they're really doing, you know, especially the county staff and employees in some cases are volunteering their time and also getting community members to help fill in some of these gaps and doing the best that they can.
It's tough, Bennett. And I wonder too, do you think that there's a misconception that hunger only happens in urban areas? Because I looked at where Juneau County is, and Juneau County is essentially northwest of Wisconsin Dells and kind of includes Mauston as the largest community. I just think a lot of people would not associate hunger with that area necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hunger in rural spaces is definitely, you know, just as real as you would think of in big cities. I mean, Linden Station, for instance, where I visited for one of the food distributions, you know, it's only a village of 500 people, and people, you know, were absolutely appreciative of being able to access some of these things because, you know, sometimes you have to drive, you know, more than 10 miles just to get to the nearest grocery store. And in some of these, you know, rural places, you know, it takes money to get food to them. And so you might see higher prices than you might in an urban environment where there would be more options to get food.
Right. Well, good heavens, if you're in a rural community, the closest place to pick up stuff might be the local gas station. And gas station prices and those mini marts, while it's nice to have an option, those tend to be more expensive than a big grocery store.
And don't have a great amount of selection either.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, and I think, and then if you don't have access to a car or you're older and you can't drive, I mean, then where are you going to get that food?
Well, and too, and you had mentioned that so many senior citizens who are lived on fixed incomes, they want to stay in their communities where they've lived all of their lives, right? And in order for them to stay in those communities, they need a little extra help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I think what, you know, is so nice is, you know, and you'd mentioned the idea of being able to get, you know, food options, you know, some of the best produce that you can get is, you know, it comes fresh from the farm and in Juneau County, I mean, they're really well positioned to be able to grow a lot of these vegetables and get, you know, variety that you wouldn't normally see in a gas station or a Dollar General.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Bennett Goldstein, who is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. And he recently published an article on Juneau County and how they are combating food insecurity due to cuts by the federal government for the LFPA local. I always know the LFPA. So remind me again, Bennett.
Just the food program, the local food program.
There we go. And one of the things when I read this article, Bennett, was not only, you know, the tenor of it all, the theme of all can seem very dour and not happy. But really what I see from this story is the joy that the community has by coming together and helping. And I want to point specifically to a young woman you interviewed named Laura Mortimer, who said feeding the community through Juneau's LFPA program felt awesome. And she felt like she made new friends and she just wanted to keep going. And though we would love to have the funding back from the government and help and investment from our leaders, it does bring a sense of deeper community. And that's what I got from her words, let alone the entire story, is that in that darkness, you're going to find light.
Right. And I think, you know, what was so amazing about this program, I mean, a lot of organizations, you know, even when the federal government was funding it, you had a lot of Wisconsin-based organizations like Marble Seed and the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. Really came together to, you know, kind of create this very well-oiled machine. And then local communities worked with them to kind of identify the needs that were unique to the residents in those areas. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with this, all this groundwork laid, it was, you know, the only thing that was missing was just the money to keep, you know, to pay farmers. And so I think that's, you know, really testament to the success that they have seen and are still seeing. And so now it's just, you know, finding just a little bit of money to help, you know, keep paying the bills.
Well, and you do mention in your article, there is one glimmer of bipartisanship. Oh, no, we might agree to do something together. The Strengthening Local Food Security Act that was introduced in July by Senator Jim Justice, a Republican from West Virginia, and Jack Reed, a Democrat of Rhode Island, which would allocate $200 million a year for states to pay farmers and fishers to sell their goods to food providers and to schools. And this is a program that farmers like.
And it's popular with the people.
Yeah. And I mean, and you always think of agriculture as something that, you know, really isn't partisan. And so I think that's part of why this was such a shock when the money went away. But I, you know, as the lawmakers have said, it's very much a win-win-win, because mm-hmm. if we want to maintain strong communities, I mean, what better way is there to do that than through growing fresh food and getting it to food pantries and schools?
And I highly encourage folks to read this article, which you will include in the show notes that you can check out just a couple of minutes after the show is over. You mentioned Dave Durth, who's 77. He's been coming to almost every pop-up since the group started in Juneau County, and he heard about it through a local program through dementia classes he goes to with his wife. It's nice to get some fresh vegetables, just something to look forward to, see some people that you know, going back to the idea of forming some community and getting people out and getting people to know people who are next door.
Absolutely. It's really about the connections within your communities. And I put Bennett's article in there, but I also put a little history on the LFPA as well. And the thing that I find interesting is that the bipartisanship of it all, and, you know, if Republicans and Democrats are coming together, and that's great. I love that. Who doesn't love some compromise and some getting along? We love that in this world. It just begs the question for me, why did we cancel it in the first place? But that's a whole other conversation. But I'm just happy that lawmakers are stepping up and leading, because also, you know, as in this article, Bennett, you know, it's not just about the community. It's about the economics. We need to take care of our farmers. And this is a program that will help them make some money and do what they need to do and really, you know, survive and be what everyone calls them, which is the backbone of our country. So this, I mean, for me personally, I thought this was a great story to show how you step up. And the question I have for you really quick is, are you hearing from other counties trying to do the same thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, so there were, I want to say, at least a dozen different programs similar to Juneau County's, last year and the year before when the government was funding it, a lot of nonprofit organizations and citizens came together to really create these local networks that kind of tapped into local knowledge and expertise about how the best ways to get food to people who might otherwise struggle. And you know, some of the best things that people can do is really just, you know, pick up the phone and give your, state or federal lawmaker a call and tell them how much, you know, this program, you know, either meant to you or someone you know, or just, you know, through someone you've heard that had an experience through it.
If I wanted to find, say, my lawmakers, the person who represents me, Greg Bach, if I wanted to find their phone number, where would I do such a thing?
That'd be simple. You just go to myvote.wi.gov, type in your information, and it will give you all your representatives from your president down to your dog catcher if you still vote for them. And you can call, you can email, and you can write them a letter. And we always encourage people to be respectful. But in this situation, yes, go there. If you are a recipient of these programs that help you get food, let your lawmakers know that this works for you, because they may or may not know, just because they're not hearing from everybody. So that's an important point, Bennett. Thank you very much. Something we always talk about is getting your voice into heard, because that is that's how we do it.
They do work for us.
Exactly.
Bennett Goldstein is a reporter for Wisconsin Watch. We'll include his great article in our show notes. Thank you so much, Bennett. We hope to have you back. Let us know what you're working on next.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, Todd Alba Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Todd will be joined by Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And Lincoln Project's Trigvi Olson. Also, they lighten it up. I love this part of it. I love Todd's show, but what's worse?
Yeah.
You never know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's always something good.
Yes.
What's worse at 3 o'clock hour today with Todd Alba. Make sure you join Todd from 2 to 4 across the network. This broke this morning. Also, as we were coming on the air, Jerry quits Ben and Jerry's ice cream, saying its independence on social issues has been stifled.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Greenfield, one of the co-founders, is leaving the brand after 47 years. They sold to Unilever.
Yes.
And he said that they were promised they would be able to have independence under the Unilever brand. Now he says, quote, for more than 20 years, Ben and Jerry stood up and spoke out in support of peace, justice, and human rights. That independence existed in no small part because of the unique merger agreement that we negotiated with Unilever. It enshrined our social mission and value in the company's structure in perpetuity. It is very disappointing to come to the conclusion that independence is gone. Greenfield says this happens at a time when our country's current administration is attacking civil rights, voting rights, the rights of immigrants, women, and the LGBTQ community. He says it's easy to stand up and speak out when there's nothing at risk. The real test is when times are challenging and you have something to lose.
I don't disagree with that, especially if it's written into their contract. If they have created a landscape where they get to talk about what they want. I will say that for years, the right has targeted Unilever of all companies.
Which is a massive company.
Massive company of being liberal. And maybe it's not because they're so liberal. Maybe it's because they see the value in saying, hey, we have a company that we want to buy and distribute, or we want to distribute them. Let's, if they're popular enough and they didn't make enough money, let them do what they do because we're going to make money, and let's not put our nose in that part of their business. And thinking about it now, maybe it's the assumption that Unilever is, quote, liberal just because they own Ben and Jerry's or they distribute them. I don't blame him. They've always been outspoken on their causes.
Extremely.
And what they believe in. And this is a matter of wait for it. What's that two word? What's those two words? Free speech. It's about free speech.
They are spinning off. Unilever is spinning off its ice cream business, including Ben and Jerry's, into a standalone company called the Magnum Ice Cream Company.
Ugh,
I know.
Sounds like something in a video game.
It sounds. I have other things it sounds like, which are worse. Spokesperson for this Magnum Ice Cream Company.
Gross.
Says it's forever grateful to Greenfield for his contributions to Ben and Jerry. Thanked him for his service. Was not aligned with his viewpoint. We disagree with his perspective. We've sought to engage both co-founders in a constructive conversation on how to strengthen Ben and Jerry's position in the world. Yeah. They're committed to carrying on the legacy of peace, love, and ice cream of this iconic, much-loved brand.
That is gross.
That's, Magnum Ice Cream?
Well, no. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a huge company, but it just feels like also nobody. Okay, fine. What a pun wasted on both of you.
I laughed, Greg.
Thank you. but it sounds evil. It sounds like evil. It sounds like the Magnum Ice Cream Company, and we don't align with their personal beliefs. You don't believe in like helping and justice and democracy and free speech. What?
Unilever acquired Ben & Jerry's in 2000 for $326 million. Woof. At the time, Ben & Jerry's said the partnership would help their company expand its social mission, but that has been having many challenges in the years since. They sued Unilever in federal court in New York in November, accusing them of silencing Ben & Jerry's.
That sounds like a breach of contract then.
It actually does.
Yeah.
Although he has resigned from his role, so apparently he's just going to walk away. The company, by the way, opened their first shop at a renovated gas station in Burlington, Vermont. This teeny tiny little company.
I can't think of Ben and Jerry without thinking about the band Fish. They have the ice cream
fish food,
which is very, very good, but they're both Burlington natives. The band is from Burlington. Ben and Jerry are from Burlington. So when I think Ben and Jerry, I think of Fish. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because I love both things so much. And there's a Ben and Jerry's location in Milwaukee, and it's totally tasty. But this brings up a big conversation that we actually had before the show, too, that we'll get into another time, I'm sure, is that, you know, especially under contract, they should be able to say what they want. And when a company is coming in and saying, when your distributor or your partner is saying, you shouldn't be talking like that,
Here's my deal. Remember what we agreed to in my deal?
How is what I'm saying impacting the ice cream sales? Because people who think we're woke have thought we were woke for 20 plus years. I don't see anyone not going to Ben and Jerry's because all of a sudden they find out that, you know, they want to help the homeless or make sure that we have social justice in this. It's just, it's absolute bunk to me. And the Magnum Ice Cream Company, disgusting.
Let's write them.
Disgusting.
We'll send them a terse note. We'll write a terse note to
it. Shall be salty yet sweet.
That's exactly. That's the perfect kind of note for the Magnum Ice Cream Company.
God.
Which again, I have my brain went in an entirely different bad way. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, supply chains and tariffs. On, off. Yeah, whatever. That's all coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fired head of the CDC, Susan Menares, is testifying before the Senate Health Committee right now. She says she told Secretary Kennedy there were some lines she refused to cross.
I could not pre-approve recommendations without reviewing the evidence, and I had no basis to fire scientific experts. He told me he had already spoken with the White House several times about having me removed.
In the UK, horse-drawn carriages delivered the president, the first lady, the king and queen, and other top royals to Windsor Castle as President Trump's three-day state visit gets underway. Markets bracing for today's announcement from the Fed on interest rates. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The labor market is deteriorating, and there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we see prices are starting to edge higher because of those tariffs. I think the Fed is really going to focus on the labor market. We're expecting a quarter of a percentage point drop.
The Dow is up 261 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.